Hey, horse lovers. This podcast is a recording of a conversation I had with my internet interns. The topic of this conversation is leadership. I am really proud of this conversation, and I hope you find it helpful. If you do, please help me grow my audience. Like, rate, review this podcast on whatever platform you're listening to. And share it with your friends. I would really appreciate it. Hope this helps. I think that, the topic this week is fairly loaded, right? It's loaded and it's, subject to interpretation and can have a lot of, meanings to a lot of different people. So I really hope to have a bit of interactive discussion with you guys, because I know it means different things to different people, right? The term leadership gets thrown around in lots of different contexts, not just horsemanship, but, you know, anytime you study any kind of like personal growth or business, you know, things like that, there's always a discussion around leadership and how important it is, but there's no like, you know, universal standard for it because everyone is different, right? We all have different preferences. We all have different outcomes and goals in mind. And so it can just be a really difficult subject to discuss. So I'm going to give you my perspective and then I'm going to try my best to be a more brief than I normally am because I really want it to be a somewhat interactive conversation, right? More conversational, not just me telling you what I think. But I will give you a little background on it for you from me. And I'm guessing that my experiences are not unique. Maybe they are, but growing up, I was forced as a child actually to be a lot more self-aware and situationally aware than what I think most people hope for kids to have to deal with, right? Just grew up in lots of different environments where I became very aware of how important it was for me to pay attention to who was paying attention to me, right? And whether or not that was a good or a bad thing, and became very good at paying attention to whatever it was the adults were paying attention to. Sometimes it was me, sometimes it was a sibling, sometimes it was something else entirely, oftentimes it was themselves or each other. But all of that caused me to realize at a very, very young age how much discourse was happening because people weren't actually listening to each other. Right? There wasn't a lot of, you know, discussion. There was a lot of dueling yelling, right? Like a lot of dueling monologues, but not a lot of like, I see your perspective there. I didn't think of it that way. You know, tell me more about what, you know, how that affects you and why, that sort of thing. There was just a lot of rah. My mom to this day is very, very not willing to, listen to anybody else's perspective and understand that just because that perspective is different than hers doesn't mean that it's not valid, right? For her, she's so rigid about it that no matter what someone else's, you know, understanding is of something or opinion is on something, if it's not the same as hers, it's wrong. That's why we got into a big argument on Thanksgiving. I can only like accommodate that with her for so long before it bubbles up and I got it. We get triggered, mothers and daughters. I get triggered and then I lose my, you know, my personal impulsion and then say stuff that later on I know is not going to do any good because she can't process it in a way that would allow us to have a conversation about it. So, you know, and then you add on to that, she's extremely opinionated, right? She has of an opinion on everything. And it's often very rigid and one-sided, right? It's from her perspective and everybody else is wrong. So growing up in that kind of environment, I am adverse to that feeling, right? I don't do that, right? I've probably more than I should said things to groups of people like, hey, I am not the leader here. I'm not trying to be the leader. I don't want to be the leader. I say it to instructors, to Linda's instructors, probably every time I talk to them, like, I'm not the gatekeeper. I'm not the leader. You don't need my permission. You don't need anything, you know, like to impress me or anything like that, because I'm uncomfortable being in a position to make decisions on others' behalf, right? But sometimes that would be helpful, right? Sometimes a person maybe does have a good idea, or, you know, if it comes from a place of wanting, you know, to help someone, then sometimes leadership is required. And I'm a lot more, I'm gaining comfort with that with horses. It's much easier for me. There'd probably be 50 of you here if I was better at saying, you know, this is right and that is wrong, but I don't say that at all, right? I rarely say that because I know that what's right for me may or may not be right for you. And I want you to know that too, and know that I know that, right? That it's not, I'm the opposite of rigid when it comes to leadership or the idea of, you know, that I have a good idea, or that you should do what I say, sort of a thing. Okay. So that's where that comes from me, right? Like growing up and watching the adults in my life being so rigid that I'm probably a little too squishy, especially with humans. Now, less so with horses, for some reason, I don't know, we can make up all kinds of stuff about that. But here's the good news about horses, right? What I've come to accept and be good with the idea of being the leader and not have it be something that makes me uncomfortable because it feels out of balance is, you know, the idea of understanding that my ability to plan and think ahead is much more advanced than theirs. All right. When I make a plan and try to, you know, execute that with my horses, it's in an effort for us to enrich each other's lives. There is a saying that I like to think about when it comes to me and my critters, right? And it comes from a lot of different places, but it has a religious context, but the message is a good one, I think. And that is for the betterment of all and the harm of none, all right? So for me, part of the way that I, the motives that I have behind making the plans that I make with my horses is that I want to enrich their lives, right? I feel a sense of responsibility for helping them experience more of what life has to offer than just turning grass into poop, right? There's, you know, it's important to take care of their basic needs, right? Food, shelter, water, vet care, all those things, but those aren't the only needs they have, right? I think that as sentient beings, as beings who are capable of evolving, learning, growing, having their own ideas and opinions, right? And that just like the untapped potential, if we don't do something, right, is just to me devastating. I really just, my motive is I want us to feel together the best of what we can do together. And I understand that is more than what either one of us could do by ourselves, right? They provide strength and grace and power, and we provide, you know, planning and sequence and a learning that can help things make sense. All right. So we need to come together in order for us to have that sort of, you know, almost symbiotic type experience together, where neither one of us could experience, you know, the peak of what our bodies and existence is capable of individually. All right. So from a more practical standpoint, what I really want to discuss first here is that if you are not the leader, they will be. And more times than not, they're not making good choices, right? The choices that they're going to make often don't include you. And if they do, they're probably not in your best interests, right? So if for no other reason than because you want to stay healthy and sound yourself, it's our responsibility to be the decision maker. So sometimes instead of being the leader, I will interject the word decision maker, right? Like, can I be the decision maker here so that we can do things together that have a chance of being for the good of all and also the harm of none, okay? And when your horse is making those choices, it's for the good of them. It's for the good of them individually, right? They're going to focus on their instincts, and you know, a prey animal's instincts are not going to include for the good of you. They're gonna be about themselves, okay? So if for no other reason than because you want to, you know, stay sound and healthy yourself so that you can keep taking good care of them, you need to be the decision maker. And then the other part of that is if your decisions don't have a certainty to them, they are confusing, right? It's confusing to horses when in one moment it seems like you want to trot, but in the next moment the horse is thinking about canter and you let them, even though that wasn't what you were thinking about. Well, then now your decision squished, right? Your plan got squishy. When you yield that way, it's confusing to them. And that confusion then will lead to an emotional response. And it, depending on the individual, right, those emotions will either be pushy or tense. And neither one of those scenarios is good for us. So you have to be committed to your idea, right, to your outcome. Now, the hard part about that is that doesn't mean I don't want my horse's feedback. It doesn't mean she's not allowed to tell me that she's confused or that she's scared or that she doesn't like what I've asked her to do. I still want to hear what she has to say about all of that. All right. But in that process of telling me I'm scared, I'm confused, I don't like this, I don't understand all of she, it's still not okay to lean, pull, or push on me. Never, ever, never, ever, never, ever. My horse can do a jig without pushing on me. She can lift her neck and bulge out here and tell me she's tense without leaning, pulling, or pushing on me. She can balk and you know, be difficult to move forward without pulling on me, all right? She's allowed a say. I want her feedback. But inside of that, there has to be some rules. And in order for us to, you know, exist in a cohesive way, those rules have to be absolute. And to me, it can be boiled down to just never, ever, never, ever, never, never lean, pull, or push on me. Tell me what you need to tell me inside of those parameters, all right? Do what you got to do that I hear your message without leaning, pulling, or pushing on me. And I promise I will do my best to always acknowledge whatever problem it is they're having, and you know, only progress things as it seems to be within their threshold of learning, and not, you know, try not to pop them into defense kind of processes. But I still have to be committed to my plan. It is never, never, ever, never, 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 ever okay to lean, pull, or push on me. Never. Never. All right. Now, the hard part is a lot of us have a lifetime of experiences where we've learned to tolerate a lean, pull, or push. And sometimes it's subtle, right? And so what happens is we become unaware that that's what's happening. We don't realize that our horse is leaning, pulling, or pushing on me. An example for me was when I first started to realize that was happening is I was trying to get Maxie to yield her hindquarters. And I forget the exact context, but I remember that I got a cramp in my butt because I was pushing so hard with my leg. That is a lean, all right? That is not a yield. That is a brace. And I wasn't doing anything about it. And it's funny because Helen Topp was my instructor at the time, and she kept saying, do something, mate, do something. At the time, I'm like, what? I don't know what to do. Like, I think that she could have been more clear, right? She could have just said it to me. Like, hey, that she is leaning on your leg, bite her, right? Like, use your stick, use your spur or something, but make that uncomfortable for her. But all she would say is, do something, mate, do something. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I didn't even, you know, realize what was happening, right? I didn't realize she was leaning on me. So the another big piece of the leadership, you know, pie has to be about becoming acutely aware, all right? Acutely, intensely aware of all things. and that takes some practice, okay? It's a type of mental fitness to be able to keep track of all of those details. So it's important then, my friends, listen to me carefully, to slow down and take more breaks. Slow down and take more breaks, all right? If for no other reason than to let your brain catch up to what's actually happening in real time versus getting wrapped up in all of the stuff that your brain produces to make shit up about what may or may not be happening, okay? You gotta slow down and take more breaks, if for no other reason than to process, right? To think about what just happened, evaluate whether or not it's what you meant to have happen, and then make a plan that's based on that information, right? That's why I love my PIVO. I have made more progress on my own in the last 2 years since having a PIVO than I can remember, because I can watch it back and see in reality, oh, that is not what I thought was happening, right? Like in the moment, you can swear, for me, more times than not, in the moment, I'm thinking, oh, this is awful. This is not going good. She's hating this. She's tight. You know, I feel, you know, oftentimes I watch it back and I get to see it and go, ah, actually, that looks pretty good. I was being way too critical, right? I can watch it back and realize like, oh, I was making up all kinds of, you know, self-critical things, which of course my horse is going to take personally, because there's no way for me to tell her there's a difference between me being self-critical and me being critical of her. All she knows is that there's criticism coming out of me, all right? And then she's going to defend herself from that. So, you know, getting that kind of feedback is an important part of the process. But even if you don't have a PIVO, right, even if you're not recording, it still is just a good idea to take lots and lots of breaks, to stop and think your way through something and decide, you know, like, is this heading in the right direction? You know, what's my picture, right? What is it exactly that I'm asking for? What's my plan for executing my picture? And what do I want it to feel like? And, you know, just every few minutes, guys, I hardly ever record more video than 4 or 5 minutes at a time, because I hit stop to either watch the video back, let my horse take a break, or to think about what we're doing and whether or not I'm heading in the direction I meant to, right? So I've never on my PIVO recorded more than probably 7 minutes for that reason, right? Because there's no reason to keep recording when I'm processing, right? I hit stop so I can think about what's going on. So that's how, you know, I keep my videos short, not because I'm trying to keep my videos short, but because I take a lot of breaks. If you came to watch me just working with my horses, you'd be wildly bored. It'd be intensely boring. Unless you happen to show up on a day where things start to come together and the process is starting to actually show the product. It'd be stupidly boring, because, you know, most of the time I'm sitting there thinking. I'm not doing a lot of doing. I'm sitting there processing, okay, and allowing my horse the same opportunity, okay? So just to recap my ideas on all of it. To me, leadership is a responsibility, is not my right, just because I happen to be a biped and they're a quadruped, right? It's my responsibility because I am the one with the more advanced prefrontal cortex, right? I am the one with the nervous system that's capable of planning. Horses cannot do that. They do have a prefrontal cortex. They can do puzzle solving. If you've ever taught a horse to solve a puzzle, you realize there is some prefrontal cortex, function. But puzzle solving is not the same as planning. They can't plot and scheme, right? They're not actively, thinking of ways to give you a hard time. That's not in their capabilities. Their brain is not wired that way. So because I have the advanced prefrontal cortex, I have to be the one with the plan. It's my responsibility. But as the one with the plan, I have to be ready to adjust my plan based on my horse's feedback, right? I have to hear what they are saying. I have to acknowledge like, oh, that's a problem for you. Let me help you with that. Or of course, we've bit off too big of a chunk here. Let me see if I can break that down and make it, more digestible. They still get a say. That's what I was talking about with my childhood, right? Like watching adults just yell at each other with no one yielding because they're just so desperate to like get their position heard that they can't hear anybody else's, right? I never, ever want to do that. And sometimes to my detriment, sometimes I am a little too squishy when it comes to humans. I'll come across as not squishy, right? Like the look on my face doesn't look squishy, but inside I'm going, well, that's just how you see it. I don't see it that way. But that's how you see it. And, I can tell pretty quick when somebody is not in a mindset that would allow a debate about something, right? Just, I will shut down, like straight up stop talking. That doesn't mean I look squishy. Most people would rather I keep talking. But at the same time, in my mind, I've stopped participating because you can tell when somebody's not willing to hear someone else's perspective. I never want to make my horses feel that way. And I try really hard to not make humans feel that way too. Okay. So it's not about being the dictator or the boss or anything like that, but you do have to be the one with the plan. All right. You have the capacity to plan. And if they are making the plans, you are probably in danger, right? Either from a pushy horse or a tense horse, you have to be the one with the plan. And when they are giving you their feedback, it is never okay to lean, pull, or push. Those are my non-negotiables. Linda says it in a way that actually turns some people off. And I wish she would change her words, because the whole car analogy makes people think that we're treating our horses like a tool. And that's not at all what she means, obviously. She's just trying to get this point across that I'm trying to get across to you, that, it's not okay for your prey animal to lean, pull, or push on you. If they do that, then you are probably in danger, all right? You have to be the one with the plan, because you are capable of making a plan that is for the good of all and the harm of none. That is not what horses do. They make a plan that is for the good of them, and sometimes to their own detriment, right? Who has ever seen a horse freak out at something and do something harmful to themselves because they were panicking, all right? That's the kind of decision-making they do. So they don't get to be in charge of those kinds of decisions because it's not safe. It's not good. It does not for the good of all or the harm of none. It's only for the good of them and sometimes even to their own detriment, right? So it's just not good for them to be the decision maker. Okay. And then inside of all of that, in order for me to get good at being a leader, I have to get good at knowing what my picture is, right? What am I trying to work towards here? What's my goal? You have to be clear on that. You can't just fluff around, okay? Unless you're trail riding. And even when you're trail riding, you can only fluff around if the horse is okay with that. right? Maxi, you could probably fluff around. Vanna's got to where you could fluff around. But if the horse is nervous or tense, you still got to be the one with the plan, all right? And then you got to, you know, so that's your picture. What your goal is, your picture, then what's my plan for achieving that? What are the steps that are going to put that in place for me so that, you know, we have a chance of achieving that? And then what do I want that to feel like when I get there? All right. Without a feeling, there's no intrinsic reward, right? I am perfectly okay with treats, right? My horses know it, have a bridge. My audible bridge is good girl. You can have all the opinions you want around whether or not words work, but they've worked for me. I'm not so advanced in my positive reinforcement training that good girl doesn't work. The only thing that's causing the bridge is G, right? So I can't even say words out loud that start with letter G because they will screech to a halt and expect a cookie. Okay. So they do have a bridge. I'm perfectly happy to use primary reinforcers like rest, scratches, and food. Okay. But I read one time that there's a word for this. I forget already what it was. It was a great word too. Dang it. Anyway, there is also a scenario where we do something because we like doing it, right? Starts with an A. That's the stress cycle. Anyway, starts with an A, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, you do it because it feels good to do it, not because I'm trying to earn a treat or because I'm trying to earn a rest or, you know, I want you to, you know, shut up and go away. Like when we use pressure a lot, we teach our horses really to wish for it to be over. I don't want my horses to wish for it to be over. I want them to enjoy doing the thing. All right. So all of that is going to only be possible if you slow down and pay really close attention, right? That's my last little thing I'm going to say. Slow down, pay super close attention, and take a lot of breaks. Take a lot of breaks, like every few minutes, 3, 4, 5 minutes. The only time it would go longer is if your picture was about fitness, right? Physical fitness. Sometimes Walter Zettel used to get a little frustrated with Linda because Remmer was used to being allowed to stop whenever he needed to rub the adrenaline out of his nose, right? And so they would do something energetic and kind of physical. And in order for that to be achievable, he'd have to tap into his adrenaline. Adrenaline can be used in a positive way. If it's laced with dopamine instead of cortisol, then it can be a positive thing. Adrenaline's not, you know, by itself bad necessarily. So they do something energetic and athletic, and then he'd want to complete out the allostatic cycle, right? Complete allostasis, and they either shake or they rub their nose, or, you know, if on their own, they might roll, stuff like that. So he just would stop. He would just stop and rub his nose on his front legs to allow for a complete allostasis. And, Walter would be like, ah, because, you know, he just coached her to get him round and engaged and, you know, over the back and everything. And then she would just let him stop and everything just like falls apart. Me and have to try to put it back together again. So there is a time and a place for longer stretches without breaks, but you got to build up to it, right? They need to be physically, mentally, and emotionally fit enough for those long goes. I can tell you right now, when Vanna and I get to Florida, we will both need lots of breaks. We're both a little bit fluffy. You know, that has to be part of the process. So, you know, I think that as humans, we want everything to be black and white, right? This or that. We want it to, you know, to be a dichotomy. This is good, that is bad. And I have not yet found that to be the case in any scenario, that there's always some good in every situation. There's always some things that you kind of wish you'd done differently. And that, you know, it comes that way with leadership too, right? That, yes, I don't want my horse to lean, pull, or push on me. I'm never going to be okay with that. But I do want my horse to tell me what she's thinking, right? I do want my horse to say, I'm scared, I'm tense, I'm confused, you know, whatever. So you can't make, you know, hard and fast rules around that, right? Except for lean, pull, or push. That's a hard and fast rule all the time, no matter what. Never going to support that, okay? Because if my horse doesn't yield, I cannot help her, right? If she's having a problem, or even if we're just trying to figure something out, right? Achieve a goal. I can't explain to her what I want if she is in the mindset to lean, pull, or push. Okay. So there you go. That's my ideas around leadership. And hopefully it sparks some ideas for you too. I'm going to read the chat first. Charlie says, I love that. Puzzle solving is not planning. I was trying to sort that out recently. Ah, good, Charlie. That's how I see it anyway, right? That the prefrontal cortex activity that horses have is puzzle solving, but they're not necessarily good planners, right? They don't have the capacity for forethought and to think about things in the future, right? They're only in the moment. Bonnie says, I am presently reevaluating how I approach a few of our harder activities. Just decided to really show up and step back. And, you know, I think that is important, Bonnie, and we all, you know, bite off too big of a chunk from time to time. I know I still do. And I think that having big goals is good, right? And being ambitious and wanting to achieve, you know, big things is a good thing. Like, dream big, have big, hairy goals. But for me, my perspective on it is that my goals are a means to an end. They are not the end. Right. The ultimate goal is that on the day that I have to say my ultimate goodbyes to my partners, that I don't have any regrets. That's what I want. When my horse has to be put down, most likely, because they seem to put us in that position, right? or even if they did die unexpectedly, I want to be able to, you know, wholeheartedly think I did the best I could and they had a good life, right? That being my horse is a good thing. When they, you know, whatever happens on the other side of that, if somebody asks them, like, how was it? I want them to go, oh man, it was great. I loved being Christy's horse. It was the best experience. I hope I get to go back. You know, that's the kind of motive I have. I just want them, I want to have no regrets. And I can tell you, after having put Satori down, I have regrets. There's a ton of things I wish I'd done differently because my ambition for myself gave her a hard time, right? And I know that now. I didn't know that then. It's not that I didn't know. I just wasn't capable of focusing on her. I was focused on me. And so, you know, I don't want to do that again. It's super painful. I don't recommend it. So now, you know, Maxie's been through that too, right? She's been through a lot for the sake of my dreams. And so I, every day I'm trying to make that up to her, like honor her and thank her and, you know, let her know how much I am grateful and appreciate it. And then not do that to the others, right? Just don't do it. So I don't have to make up for it before it's too late, sort of thing. So it's not about being, you know, lovey-dovey all the time. I still have to set reliable, clear boundaries. But at the same time, you know, my horses, our horses still deserve, you know, the ability to tell you they're having a hard time. Okay. Cause that's all it is. If there's something's not going the way you planned or you were hoping for, they're not giving you a hard time. They're having a hard time. And it's up to us to help them, you know, have that be a useful situation. Sometimes we're going to have a hard time. That's life. That's inevitable. But the hard times that leave scars or, you know, to me are deplorable are the hard times that don't lead to anything more than just more hard times. Hard times that lead to beautiful things, hard times that lead to goal accomplishments and, you know, these synergistic moments where we both go, wow, I didn't know we could do that. You know, that's what I'm looking for. I want those special, you know, magical moments where we come together and the sum of the two is much greater than what either one has to offer individually. Okay, so there you go. That's my thoughts on leadership. I would like to know your thoughts now. The floor is yours. What do you guys got? You can tell my sinuses are still doing something weird, stupid COVID stuff. You go now. Yes, please, Linda, go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I had exactly the same notes as you, Christy. I went away and thought about it. And I think the paradigm for leadership is really changing around the world. Like, I don't know, I'm retired, so I don't have a big bad boss anymore. But back in the day, you know, you had some asshole that you worked for and you didn't have a say. You just had to do whatever the hell you were told, right? And we all grew up with that. But I really think the world is changing now. And people that are writing books and the message is getting out there that that just does not work, is that if you don't empower people to do. And I really feel that bringing out the best in the horse means also figuring out what they are good at and what they want to do. And they were put on earth to, you know, help us, obviously, but spiritually they need to know their purpose. So I have a horse who's a trail horse and she can just do that job like there's no tomorrow. She wins all the time. So doing things in the arena is brutal. I have to pretend it's the trail. Right. So yeah. I really appreciate that. That's the point of view that you take when you look at this is how can I bring that out of my horse? And yeah, slowing down. I wrote that down. I'll probably write that about 10 times because I never do that. I just zing right through it. And yeah, then I watch my people and go, ooh, ooh. Nasty.
Yeah. Mm. So. Yeah. Well, be careful, right? We're all just doing what we know how to do for now until, and we can't do better till we know better. Right. And the fact that you're working so hard to do better is all you got to, you know, to worry about. Right. As long as, to me, that's the difference between us and my observation of the adults in my life. When I was a kid, nobody was trying to do better. Right. Everyone was doing poorly and not giving a shit. Right. It's seemingly from my youth perspective. And, you know, obviously that's not a complete picture of what their adult experience was like, but and I agree with you, Linda. I do hope. I have a lot more faith in mankind than I have reason to. Because without it, like what do you got? Like, unless you have hope that we're all trying to do better and that, you know, we're doing the best we can, but we're also trying to do better. If you don't have that kind of hope for humanity, I think life becomes pretty miserable. I agree with you. Like, just, you know, I want to explore what my horse's talents are. What are their genetics and their conformation designed for? And, you know, I just want to, you asked me about the flying lead changes last week. And it's like, I don't know. She just does them so well. I want to do it too, you know? And I do, I am not innately someone who wants to jump, but Gina does, right? Gina loves to put air between her and the ground. And I hope to feel what that feels like, because she's so balanced and light and fluid when she does it, that it just looks magical. I want to know what that feels like. So yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and same with you and your trail horse, Matt, that's Maxie's superpower. Like, you could, you know, she could not be ridden for a year and you still go put a saddle on her and ride down the trail and you're going to have a great time. So, I just need to do that more. I did not go on a single, like, off the property trail ride in 2022. Not once, not one time. I live within 20 minutes of a park that I could go trail riding in. It's, I don't know what happens. Anyway. So yes, absolutely. I love that, Linda. And, you know, especially I think ambitious people, anybody who's goal driven, and you obviously are, Linda, it doesn't occur to us to slow down, right? It's not how we're wired. So, you know, learning to do that is a skill, right? It's just something that you train The same as any other skill you had to develop that's not one you already had. So for me, in the beginning, well, I don't know if you'd call it the beginning, but back in my faculty days, when I was on the faculty and I was working with my horse outside of class, I literally would set an alarm on my phone, right? I'd have my phone beep me about every 5 minutes so that if my brain did get into the, like, you know, monkey brain, or we're just like rum, 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 and not taking breaks, there'd be a little pattern interrupt, right? Like, hey, are you thinking about this? Or are you just doing for the sake of doing? So that might be something to try. But I think that the more and more we use our PIVOs, the more that habit is being developed anyway. So it's all good. Thanks for your contribution there, Linda. What else, guys? What else are your thoughts on leadership? Go ahead, Mary. I'd love to hear from you.
You know, for me, what I've been focusing on recently about leadership for me is trying to get my mind under control from the perspective of, I know I have to have the plan, but my plan right now is I don't think I can communicate with my horse until I am listening well to my horse. And I am trying, so my leadership goal right now is to develop my skills in reading my horse. Do you know what I mean? It's like do you know what I'm saying? It's like, and because my horses, you know, I've worked really, really, I've struggled a lot with that ear back. And I don't think it's all them. I think it's me. I am bringing that out in them. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it's like, I may have this grand goal of flying lead changes somewhere 100 years down the line, but I'm not going to get there if I can't get this. Do you know what I mean? If I can't get this, I'm not going to get that. And they're not going to have fun. They're not going to enjoy it. So I must admit, my whole leadership right now is right now, not a whole leadership. I shouldn't say that. My first primary leadership thing is to keep in mind as I go down, try to clear my mind. You know, so spend some time kind of in meditation. And before I ever walk into where they can see me and feel me, is that I'm trying to experience the environment as they do. Do you know what I mean? What are they seeing? What are they? Do you know what I mean? What are they feeling? Yeah. And can I feel what they're feeling? So do you know what I mean? And it's starting to come. I mean, it's starting to come. It's like I walk up and I stop outside Piper's pen and I just say, what are you seeing? Do you know what I mean? What are you thinking? What side of the corral did you get up on this one? You know, let me be in your environment instead of making you be in mine that I have created up here. Yeah. And you talked about that. So that's the part that I've been really
super really
focusing on. And it's changing. They're changing. I see the horses looking at me a lot more like this, coming to see me. As opposed to, here she comes.
That's so wonderful, Mary. You know, for me, the penny dropped on that with my horse Maxie, right? Because she is super opinionated. When we were first trying to get through all the Pirelli level stuff, it was all about me. I wasn't making it about her at all. She was a tool I was using to try to achieve, you know, this career goal that I had. And lucky for me, she was not going to put up with that. She just was not tolerant of that at all. And one of the things that I'm most proud of about my horsemanship is my horse's expression, and hers in particular, because she could very easily be the horse with the grumpy ears, right? And because I'm a determined person, I actually probably still would have gotten the behaviors to happen, right? I could have still gotten the minimum done to do what I was doing. But her expression became super important to me after an experience I had where I realized I had a self, you know, awareness epiphany where I had jumped ahead, right? Like I was trying so hard to do what, you know, was then level three, more like level four things, and skipping all kinds of steps and, you know, just whacking on her to try to get something done. And luckily I had a set of a sequence of experiences over a few days that provided a moment of clarity where I was like, this is not what I came here to do, right? I did not come here to whip on my horse, right? And I was like, I'm not proud to say it, but I will be honest with you, I was for sure stick and not carrot. And it's lucky for me that Maxie is durable too, right? Because she took a lot. And just like you, I care more about what it seems like my horses are thinking when they see me than, you know, what we can or cannot get done in the arena or going down the trail or whatever that happens to be. Because that's what's going to matter on the day that I have to say goodbye to them, mm-hmm. right? That's going to be the pain I will have if I don't do something to ensure that they have good, you know, good thoughts, they have had a positive experience. And so for me, it still comes back to for the good of us all and the harm of none. And does that mean we don't do hard things? No, if we don't do hard things, then there's no enrichment, right? Then all I have are pasture buddies. And that's not necessarily the end of the world, but I think it's sad. I think that untapped potential is sad, right? That there's a magic possible, and to just leave that magic on the ground, like unexplored, I think is a waste.
Yeah, I think that though that I have to make sure that magic is magic they want, not magic I want. Do you know what I mean? What would fulfill them? Not what I think would fulfill them, but what reading them and saying, are you enjoying this? Do you know what I mean? Are you enjoying this? I frequently think back to Pat's story about where he was told, did that horse give you permission to come in his stall?
Yeah.
Did you ask for permission to come in there? And did you wait until he gave it to you?
Yeah.
It's like, how often do I wait and see if I have permission? And that doesn't mean, because I also think when I need them to, your thing about lean, push. Now, you know, I'm feeding now, and now I need you to get out of my way so I can get between here and the thing without you pushing on me. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. That part is there too. It's not just all the squishy part, but anyway. Yeah. So
that's perfect. I love it.
But it's hard work.
It is.
It's hard work.
Yeah. And, you know, and a lot of it has to do with our conditioning, right? I think it's harder work for some than for others, depending on, honestly, like how you were raised, right? If you were raised, like I was raised in a way that, you know, in my 20s, I had a pretty strong belief of, you know, if I want something done right, I'm going to have to do it myself, right? Like very ingrained, like, don't lean on anybody for help or ask, you know, nobody cares about what kind of a hard time you're having. Just put your head down and get shit done. If you want something for yourself, you better be, you know, if you want something, you better be ready to get it yourself, like from a very young age. So, you know, for a lot of years then I became conditioned to be self-centered, right? To be very focused on what I want. and you know, at that, those neural pathways were heavily myelinated. Like that's a strong pattern, and it served me in a lot of ways. You know, those habits weren't all bad. You know, I need some of them. Otherwise then you just become a doormat. But at the same time, it just didn't occur to me, right? It wasn't that I didn't care about my horses or that I didn't love them. It just didn't occur to me to think about their experience. Like, what do you mean? Like, it's my horse. They just do what I tell them to do because I said so. You know, so yeah, it is hard. But the good news is, right, the more you practice it, the easier it gets.
Yes.
Right. It's just a skill that needs rehearsed. And I love what you're saying about, you know, like, how is this making you feel? Like, I try to train myself, instead of asking yes or no questions, right? Can you or would you do this, that, or the other thing? I like to instead ask the question, how does it make you feel when I ask you to maintain gait or change direction or, you know, stand here quietly to be saddled, those kinds of things. So that way, then my horse can give me more information than just yes or no, right? With yes or no, all we're going to adjust is how much pressure we're using. Where, you know, if my horse can tell me more dynamic things than that, then I can adjust my plan while staying committed to my picture.
Yeah.
And, you know, and still have it be, you know, for the betterment of us all and the harm of none, right? Mm-hmm. It is possible. Mm-hmm. Not easy, but it is possible.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mary. Oh, Bonnie, go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Couple of thoughts that I've had going. My daughter, Chris, always tells me, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Mm-hmm. That kind of really sunk into my head a couple of days ago. And it was like, yeah, with trailer loading and the teeter totter, I'm doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. So like Mary mentioned, stepping back, refocusing, thinking about taking it slower, doing it a different way, and seeing how things flow. I haven't made it there yet, but it's a thought process and a skill that we need to develop. And a lot like me, just like a lot of other people, slowing down is not in my vocabulary.
Yes.
So, but when I see it on TiVo, it really does help me to think about slowing down, asking more politely, not using the stick so much. What really helped sink some ideas into my head was watching you with the flag and Kaya. That really made it visual to me how careful you were to watch where the edge of her bubble was.
Mm-hmm.
I have never been that careful. I'm going to try from now on, and I think I will get a lot further. I'm also being firmer about the no push, no pull, no lean.
Good.
Getting a lot firmer with that and not being afraid to get firmer since we had that little blow up the other day.
Good.
And focusing on just one little step at a time and get that good, then worry about moving on later when I know you're relaxed and accepting. So a lot of good stuff here today. I mean, Linda said a lot of good stuff, and Mary and Pamela threw in some good thoughts. So it's really been helpful for me. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for your contributions. It looks like I got some stuff to go through here in the chat. Let's make sure we're on top of all that. Jan says, I'm sure you'll both be more tough and buff after 3 weeks. I sure hope so. I do always trim up a bit when I ride with Linda because, you know, her way of riding is very athletic. So I'm looking forward to that part of it. It'd be a good way to, like, you know, get some a little oomph going before, you know, more riding starts happening at home. And Vanna and I are equally squishy. So it'll be good for us both. I'm looking forward to it. You know, Shane asked me the other day, will she start shedding when you're down there? I'm like, yeah, because, you know, the days are longer. That's why it's warmer down there, because it's closer to the equator. So yes, she will start shedding. So I'll have to blanket her when I get back, but it's worth it. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm not looking forward to the drive. I've gotten real like, you know, soft around these long drives. Like the last 3 years have enjoyed staying home. but other than that, I'm super excited. And Alex has given us a nice, safe place to overnight. So that helps a lot with the stress on that long drive. Linda says, Mary, you have to sell the dream to them. Yeah. What's in it for them? Why will what you ask be good for them? Exactly. Right. It's funny because we have these conversations, or I've had these conversations in instructor circles a lot. When it comes to selling your idea, you know, we have, sales and marketing training. I've had it in Pirelli, and we're getting it in, you know, Linda's program as well. But I'm uncomfortable with the terminology. I don't want to be a salesman, like, and often to my detriment, right? Like I've more than once said, like, if I got to convince you, I'm not interested, right? I'm not going to, if as a human, if you aren't like intrinsically attracted to something I've said or done, and that's why you're seeking me out for, you know, mentorship or coaching, if I got to like chase you down or convince you, I'm not interested. I'm not going to do it. But, you know, our horses do sometimes need us to sell them on our idea. Right. And if we're not willing to do that, then oftentimes, you know, all they're going to, you know, volunteer would be undemanding time, you know, like, here's what I'll sign up for today is you can come hang out with me while I graze in the pasture. You know, like that, a lot of times that's all you're going to get. And I think that there's a lot of value in learning how to present an idea to them. Like they wouldn't have come up with it obviously themselves, but be able to say, hey, this is going to be really fun. Let's work this out together. And I feel like eventually it's less conditional than that. Right. I want my horses to, in general, see me coming and go, oh, I bet we're doing something cool today. Like here comes mom. I bet we're doing something interesting and fun and enriching today. Like, you know, whenever mom's around, fun stuff happens. Like, and then, you know, you get to that kind of place in your leadership with them, then you don't have to sell your ideas. Like they're sold on you, you know, that you are the producer of good ideas. So yeah, that's important consider, Linda. Thank you. Pamela says, I grew up with that attitude about horses for 45 years, right? Like, hey, you're just mine. You just do it because I bought you. I pay the feed bills. I pay the vet bills, right? And it's not even so harsh, you know. I didn't have like thoughts of like, I own you, so you do what I say. It just never occurred to me. Like, you know, we're here to get shit done. Like, why wouldn't you want to get shit done? I like to get shit done. Let's do it. Why doesn't everybody just want to get shit done? I can tell you, having a pushy stopper horse who doesn't give two hoots about what shit you want to get done will help you learn how to present things in a way that is more enrolling. All right, guys, my throat and nasal passages are mad at me for all the talking I'm doing. So I'm going to go and drink some hot tea. At any rate, I would love to know how your week goes, how it is going, what your picture is for the coming days or weeks, what your plan is, what feeling you want to have about that, and then what struggles are you having? What can I help you with? Okay. Please reach out any and all the time you want or need. I appreciate you more than you know, and I'll talk to you again next week. Thanks, guys. Have a great day. Talk to you soon. Bye.